This is an interview with Mr. James Steele.
James
Slacksteel. Mr. Steele, how long did you live in Brooklyn?
I lived in Brooklyn from 1930 to the time that Brooklyn was no longer.
1960,
I would say, yeah. Because I moved here at University of Ogden in 1960.
What family members lived in Brooklyn, or did all your family live in Brooklyn?
All of my family lived in Brooklyn, except my grandfather on my daddy's side is where I was born. He lived on Fraser Avenue, which was a part of Billerville. And I was born on Fraser Avenue.
Okay. Can you tell me if you can remember about some of the African American businesses in Brooklyn?
Yes. When I became of age to know myself and know how to talk to other people, I remember on Van Street, one block before Blue Heaven, we had what you call the Domets and Lunch, which I believe is the first laundry in Charlotte, as I would say, because they had trucks going to pick up in the small parts of Charlotte, which Charlotte was not that big then. Mm-hmm. And we had what you call the Addison apartment, which my grandfather on my mother's side helped to build.
Wow.
He laid bricks on the Addison apartment. And after a couple of years on Van Street, we moved to a section in Brooklyn called Blue Heaven, which was a very good section of Brooklyn. Everybody was proud of themselves, and we was like what you call a family. All the elder peoples seen after the young kids, and if you would do anything wrong, they could punish you, and you would hope that they didn't report it to your parents, because you would be punished again. We had in Brooklyn what we call Tiggs Cafe, where most of the elder men hung out and played checkers. We had a grocery store, which was on Carbway Street, called Carbway Grocery. And we had a wood yard, which was called Ames Wood Yard. Mm-hmm. And we had
church down there.
We didn't have a church in Brooklyn. I mean in Blue Hill. We had way we could go and play in the back of the women's club, which was located on Moorhead Street. We would go and play in the yard and down the creek bank like.
Mm-hmm.
And we had five streets, which was a part of Blue Heaven. which was Van Street, Reed Street, Caldwell Street, Congo Street, Stanton Street, mm-hmm. and that was Blue Heaven. Mm-hmm. We also, after you would leave Blue Heaven, you would, it's a place we call on the Hill. Mm-hmm. That is where a few families lived in, like Evans, the Cox, and Stevenson, and Elwoods, and the Abrahams. And there was a few more, but right now I can't call their mm-hmm. names. But now, Brooklyn, after leaving Blue Heaven, we moved to a section in Brooklyn, which was Hill Street. Mm-hmm. And that is where I met the families that I became very fond of. It was the Whites, the Rays, the Dales, the Browns, the Finklands, the mm-hmm. Sanders, the Sloan, the Woodards,
well.
Which I became very fond of Mr. Woodard, because as I grew older enough to do some work after school, he was a man that loved kids other than his own, and he got me and my brother Owen Jr. a job at G.G. Ray
mm-hmm.
Roofing Company for the summer, and he taught us how to use our money to buy things mm-hmm. after you take care of whatever you want to get your pants.
Mm-hmm.
And my pants was like, no, it's your money. You buy your school clothes
mm-hmm.
and save it for things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we was a family that loved each other, and the neighborhood on Hill Street was a family that loved each and every one on that section.
Mm-hmm.
We also had families that I began to love, which stayed on Alexander Street. I mentioned the Sanders, but it was two sets of Sanders. One Sanders on both Sanders lived on Hill Street. One on one section of Hill and the other one on the other side, which going, the side going to Alexander Street was a Sanders family that one of the boys that was in the Sanders family, we became very good friends, and we was like something like running buddies for quite a while. And later on, we were running buddies, but my closest friend was a fella named Harvey Thomas. We was just like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We was inseparable. And but the Sanders friend that I had, we were very close also. And later in the years, he became, as some of you would know, a DJ,
mm-hmm.
which his name on the air was Joy Boy. And we was very fond, of course, in that section where Joy Boy lived was the Lothrops, the Fergusons, the Cottons, and also some of the Woodard family,
mm-hmm.
and the Audrey family, and the Lewis family,
mm-hmm.
which all of these families, the Scott's family, the Brown family, all of these families were so close to, we was a part of each other. We respected the elder, and the elder looked after the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we was so much like a family to, we would sometime we would spend the night with each other. And at that time we had no fears, because I don't believe that the boys and girls that came up with me ever owned a key to their house, because it never was locked.
Mm-hmm.
We would sleep on the porch and so on. But the most thing was the love for each other, and how the parents would treat you when you go to their house. It wasn't the way that they would have you to go home, but if they would call their kids in to eat, they would also feed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like why I would say it was like a family, because this is the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
We also had, in fact, we had everything in Brooklyn that we needed. The only thing that we had to leave Brooklyn for was to go uptown and buy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we had cafes, we had two movie theaters,
mm-hmm.
which one was on McDowell Street and the other was on 2nd Street. I also grew up on what we call Kona. That Kona was first in Mines, where it was JC's drugstore,
mm-hmm.
which was the center part of Brooklyn at my time.
Mm-hmm.
And right across from JC's drugstore was the great Second Ward High School.
And I know you attended Second Ward.
Yes.
Right? So what was it like to attend Second Ward High School?
Second Ward High School was a place away from home. All of the teachers was what you would call proud to work with you. They was just like being a part of your family. They looked after you and made sure that you would learn things. And most of all, most of the kids was very bad about being afraid of the principal, which was Mr. Grisby.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out later that what he did for us was the greatest thing that could happen to us. He made us sure that we would become great citizens and we would know how to take the road to success.
Mm-hmm.
This was the plan for all of the teachers that we had. They was not saying that you here and I'ma tell you this or that. They took you up under their wings, and anything that you needed to know or you wanted to know, you asked them and they would work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the proud days, but Second Ward was something extra to all of the ones that attend there when I did. We had great teams that played sports. Mm-hmm. And
do you have any memories of any special football games or
well,
any games?
The memories of football games, yeah. We had great games with people like Quilla Woods, Joe Greer, Herb Taylor, and Kirk Evans, and another Evan, Mitch Evans, and we had players like Bobby Lee and a fella named Hawkshaw Wallace and Charlie Guts Wallace, Nathan Yataba, Wesco Gillespie. We had so many great ball players, and I happen to be one that was I considered great on the basketball team, where we won a runner-up in one tournament while I was there, mm-hmm. and I also received a most valuable player on one of the two tournaments
mm-hmm.
that I recall very much, because when the tournament was in Gastonia, and when after the game was over, I was bragging so much about the trophy that I had won.
Mm-hmm.
The coach didn't let me start the next game.
Oh no!
So I have very fond memories, and most of all, we had actually on the basketball team, I played under two coaches. My first coach was Mr. Kenneth Diamond Sr., which to me was the greatest coach in the world. He believed in you playing and doing what you're supposed to do, and if you didn't, you would sit down. And he was just that away. He was very disciplined with you, and you became very fond of him. And my other coach, which was Mr. Gunner, which came there at my final year, and he was a good coach,
mm-hmm.
I would say, but not as good as Mr. Diamond in teaching principles of what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
We had everything in Brooklyn that we needed, mm-hmm. Just like on McDowell Street, we had what you call, as I had stated before, domestic laundry. Besides domestic laundry going through McDowell Street, we had what we called the Zoic's Cleaner. After the Zoic's Cleaner, we had Bill Haygood's dry cleaning also on McDowell Street. On McDowell Street, we had what we call Daho Grocery Store, which was on McDowell and Stonewall, which as you would consider today as Independent Boulevard.
Okay.
We had what you call Spencer's Cafe. We had Pie's Shoeshine Parlor. We had Savoy Theater. We had Oscar Sammy's Shop. We had Wood Morgan's Barber Shop and College for Barbers and Beauticians. We had Preacher's Cafe. We had Pittman's Grocery Store. We had Delaney's Dry Cleaner. We had a baker shop, which I don't recall the name now. We had a pool room, and we had we had another dry cleaner, which was Lee Jackson's Dry Cleaner. And most of all, we had a church in Brooklyn for every nomination that I recall that the blacks attend. We had, first of all, we had St. Paul Baptist Church, which was on First Street. We had Friendship Baptist Church, which was on First and Bavard Street. We had Stonewall AME Zion Church, which was on Stonewall Street. We also had Brooklyn Presbyterian, which was on McDowell Street. We had the House of Prayer for All Peoples, which was on Long Street. At that time, that was a very good outing, especially when the House of Prayer would have convocation. Everybody would go down to the House of Prayer and listen to the beautiful music that was played each night of convocation. And on Sunday, they would have what you call the greatest parade that you want to see. Coming from the House of Prayer on Long Street to all around the section of Brooklyn, especially going down one of the main streets of First Street back into the House of Prayer. On 2nd Street.
Mr. Still, you just said they would have a parade.
Yes.
Now, was it like, did they have people playing music, or what type of parade did they have?
It would be a parade that they played music, that they did different dances. It was just like different acts that they would do.
Okay.
But it would be in the religious way. And some would come down, and most of all, it would show the high steps of what you see today some kids doing, but they was being done at that time by the House of Prayer, which was the leader of a young lady named May Fove, with her father being the leader in the high steps and the high walking. And it was a breathtaking thing that everybody in Brooklyn, I would say Charlotte, would look forward to each year. And that was the time that they had their leader was Bishop C.M. Grace, but they called him Daddy Grace. And he was mostly the highlights as he come down, you know, to wave at the crowd. But like I say, we in Brooklyn loved each other, and we had fond memories because we had on 2nd Street, we had Fred Kemp's Cafe, Fred Patton's Cafe, we had Automatic Cafe, we had the YMCA, we had the Lincoln Theater on 2nd Street, which the Royal was on McDowell Street, which turned into later being the Savoy Theater. We had also on 2nd Street the Publication House of the AME Zion. We also had one of the greatest doctors that mostly took care of all of the black patients. Dr. White's office was on 2nd Street. We had Eames Cafe, which started on 2nd Street, which later became El Chico, one of the greatest restaurants, and it was located on McDowell Street, where the House of Prayer moved from Long Street to McDowell Street, beside of El Chico.
Now, you've told me a lot about the businesses and places in Brooklyn. Do you remember whether it was at either at 2nd Ward or either just within the community, any rivalries within Brooklyn?
There was no rivals in Brooklyn. We had, we would, sometime the kids would fall out with each other, but that didn't last that long. We would fist fight. It wasn't no fighting with guns and things like that. And after a couple of hours or the next day, we'd be back friends. We didn't have anything like what you call games. We were just children that hung out on at different blocks, which there was some a group that hung on McDowell and First. And just like I told you, I hung out on First and Mize, the greatest corner in Brooklyn, because and also the greatest fellas that ever lived. And as I look back, I remember, and it have been too long ago, that one of our friends that was a part of us on First and Mize, he died, but before he left us, he proved that all that we could do things and better ourselves and the world, which was the Senator Jim Richardson, which was on the also he was on the city council, and county commission, and his last job, as I recall, was the county commission. We had, well, we also had from Brooklyn, which did not hang on First and Mize, but he was a part of us as we met when I was at Jonathan C. Smith, is the great Bob Walton, which y'all would say Robert Walton, which is, we call him Bob Walton. As you know, he did a lot of things to improve things for the blacks while he was on county commission. Mm-hmm. And we actually, the black families that was raised in the Brooklyn section was the greatest one that God could have made, because we respected each other, loved each other, and that was the life of Brooklyn. When we found out that we was gonna be relocated, which the majority in Brooklyn feel as today, it was not necessary. I myself personally feel that they moved us because we was so close to each other with love, and we was a city within a city in shock. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they liked that, and this was one of the reasons that they really started with the relocation of Brooklyn. That is my belief. But because while I believe that, they say that they was gonna move everything in Brooklyn, it wasn't gonna be like that, like it was. But one of the first things that they put in Brooklyn after moving the blacks out, mm-hmm, was First Baptist Church. Now, St. Paul Baptist Church, which was on First Street, had moved to McDowell Street, mm-hmm, which was one of the, you would say, the memories of the of Brooklyn and everything, and the fondness would be that my wedding was the first wedding in St. Paul on McDowell Street.
Wow.
That was the fondness of my life in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And as I remember today, as I can look in, at the wedding picture, it's been now 47 years, soon
wow,
will be 48, which we are still in love with each other.
Wow.
Now
I know you brought up urban renewal and when everybody was moving out. Do you feel like the citizens of Brooklyn had any voice in what was happening?
No, there was no voice for the Brooklyn people to voice their opinion. They even, as I recall, and that when they was ready to move us in Brooklyn, which I had moved out before that, I purchased a home, which I have now, in University Park. But my mother-in-law, my mother and them was still in Brooklyn. There was no voice because my mother-in-law owned her home in Brooklyn. And the first offer was, you take what we give you, because we coming through anyway. Mm-hmm. This was what was told to my mother. I was there. And I also spoke to them to tell them that you can't just take her home. You if this got to be done, which I don't believe that it need to be done, but y'all gonna take it anyway. Y'all giving us no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be a way that she would be able to have a better place than what you taking if you gonna move her from her place where her kids was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like it wasn't safe.
Mm-hmm. Now, were there any ways that the citizens of Brooklyn, or you yourself, or your wife, were there any ways that you tried to speak out, or people tried to speak out about what was happening?
We tried, but there was nothing could be done because they would always say, we coming through to do this
mm-hmm.
for the better of Charlotte, and this will be an industry place where we have more, the city is growing and we will have more buildings for the governor of Charlotte to work with and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I told you that the first place that they put in was First Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
which they removed all of these other churches, as I recall, Friendship, St.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, Brooklyn Presbyterian, Stonewall, Emmanuel Church. All of these churches was churches that peoples grew up in. And it was not fair, especially when they decided that they would tear down Second Ward, which was the fun of everybody in Brooklyn. Because mostly everybody in Brooklyn went or graduated from Second Ward High School.
Mm-hmm.
They also told us the biggest lie is they lied to us on many occasions that the school was out of date. They was gonna tear it down and rebuild it. As you see now, they haven't rebuilt it or even thought about putting a school way that it could be a similar for Second Ward.
Now, when you just said then that they had told you that they would tear it down and rebuild it,
right?
Would it still be named Second Ward?
That was our understanding.
Okay.
That time it would be still the only thing that it was outdated, that it needed repair,
right?
And that they would rebuild it, which they lied to us. And also at the time I feel like the person that was in charge at that time kind of favored with them because he didn't help us to push
mm-hmm.
toward rebuilding Second Ward as they say that they would. We tried many times to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly this is why, as you notice, that we are so strong that the members of Second Ward still love each other and will not let Second Ward die on the count of a few peoples that run in the governor say that they will destroy our life.
Mm-hmm.
We will not let that happen. And that was after taking Brooklyn away from the neighborhood, as I would say, destroying Second Ward was one of the things that they really should not done
mm-hmm.
because there was it's so many memories of ones that went on to become what they wanted to be or could be. Should have something as saying the first black high school in this city, especially, don't exist. And why I know that they didn't intend to build it back, it was just a way of telling us that they would do it, as they have lied to us many times. And the famous word is, we was not the governing body at that time. Because I have experienced in later years that they really want to take West Charlotte. But I would say to, in my personal way, is why they haven't closed it, because the city got too much involved in it. To me, they don't like the location where Charlotte is, because now that black and white attend school together, some of the white was sitting in the wrong neighborhood. And to me, there's no greater neighborhood than where Charlotte is.
Now, when we've talked, you've talked a lot about urban renewal and how people felt and how you felt in particular. What was your impression of when families and people were being displaced from the Brooklyn area? What was your impression of how maybe other people or other communities outside of Brooklyn were viewing what was happening?
They were, well, when they started in Brooklyn, they was, most of all, we would get the reaction from our friends and loved ones that was in different neighborhoods that we gonna, maybe we gonna be next. And actually, as you know, First Ward was the next on the list, which you don't have too much of a part of First Ward now that existed at the time that the black families was together and loved each other, and as we as blacks know each other waited. Now, we don't get to have that feeling. And as you know, they just about got a great part of Cherry. And so they also felt that the way that it happened, they would be next.
What do you think, after looking back on what happened to the Brooklyn community and the way politicians carried plans out about urban renewal, what do you think politicians or policymakers today should learn, or what lessons should they learn from what happened to the Brooklyn community?
I think that they should come together as citizens to make a decision. Not come together as color. And this is what's been happening in Charlotte. Because, as you recall, in the First Ward section, they did what they call a project of, what was the name of the units that they had there? Earl Village. But knowing that the politicians was not together and this ain't what they want. They destroyed a village in building what they have today. And that left a lot of black families out, because what they built over there today, a lot of the blacks could not come back to enjoy where they have stayed for many of years. And to me, they are still playing politics as doing whatever they can to the blacks. It's not that we gonna be citizens. We gonna still work it way. You gonna still be a part of what we call that second class in certain instances. And you can see it, because they building nothing but condos and things around all of those sections that they for redeveloping. And the average black family, even today, cannot afford those condos that they got up there. And as you notice, most of the whites that moved out of the city limit is moving back into the city limit, because they have made the progress for them to enjoy within the city.